from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President says Ameroro Dam a solution to water crisis. Bali Maritime Tourism Hub expected to activate Indonesia's tourism ecosystem. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Ameroro Dam on Tuesday in Konawe Regency, Southeast Sulawesi, Indonesia. The president said Ameroro Dam is the 14th dam built and completed at the end of 2023. In his remarks broadcast online on YouTube Presidential Secretariat on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo explained the reason the Ameroro Dam was built reflects the number of countries experiencing a water crisis. Therefore, the step of building a dam is something important for life.
Kita tahu beberapa negara sekarang ini mulai terjadi yang namanya krisis air.
We know that several countries are now starting to experience a water crisis.
Mendapatkan
it is very difficult to get water. Because in the future, water
karena
will become something very important for our lives. Therefore, we should not allow
kita.
Water to continue to flow into the sea and not be utilized.
Air untuk mengalir terus ke laut dan tidak kita manfaatkan.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also explained that the cost of building the Ameroro Dam reached a cost of 1.57 trillion rupiah. The president hopes later the benefits are far greater than the money that has been used to build this Ameroro Dam. Bali Maritime Tourism Hub National Strategic Project at Benoa Port will be inaugurated in October 2024 to develop the maritime tourism sector in Bali. This was said by Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday. He also said Bali Maritime Tourism Hub has a huge economic impact. According to the minister, with the large number of cruise ships docking at Benoa Port, it will certainly increase the number of tourist visits. In addition, he also explained, the most important thing is how Indonesia can later supply all the needs and infrastructure of the cruise ship, so it can boost Indonesia's tourism ecosystem.
Tapi yang penting, kita bisa mensuplai air.
That most importantly, we can supply water, we can supply fuel, we can supply the needs for food, and the infrastructure or superstructure of the cruise ship, we can supply from Indonesia, so it will activate the tourism ecosystem. Then for services and repairs can be facilitated by the presence of the hub, so the economic impact is very large. Moreover, currently the capacity of the dock for tourist ships at Benoa Port can accommodate up to about 30 tourist ships and 2 cruise ships simultaneously. Later, if the Bali Maritime Tourism Hub is completed, Benoa Port will be able to accommodate up to 400 tourist ships or yachts and 4 to 5 cruise ships. Still about Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, made a working visit to the United Arab Emirates and South Korea from May 8 to the 11, 2024. Sandiaga at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday conveyed, in a working visit to the two countries, his side carried out various activities ranging from travel marts to investment meetings that produced positive notes. Sandiaga Uno revealed Indonesia's participation in the Arabian travel market in the United Arab Emirates by presenting the wonderful Indonesia Pavilion, succeeded in attracting 40,427 potential pax, exceeding the initial target of 40,000 potential pax.
Alhamdulillah, berhasil kita lakukan.
Thank God we did it successfully and attracted a lot of interest from tourists and stakeholders in the United Arab Emirates. We got 40,427 potential pax with a total potential foreign exchange 1.33 trillion rupiah. Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga Uno said no less interesting things in his working visit were meetings with Emirates Airlines to encourage additional flight frequencies to Bali and Jakarta, potential direct flights to 5 super priority destinations, and various collaborations to strengthen the additional value of Indonesian tourism. The last national news comes from the governments of Indonesia and Austria link, I should say ink, a memorandum of understanding on the recruitment of professional and skilled workers. Secretary General of the Indonesian Manpower Ministry Anwar Sanusi and State Secretary of the Austrian Federal Ministry of Labor and Economy Susan Cross-Winkler signed the MOU in Jakarta on Monday. In her ministry statement received on Tuesday, Indonesian Manpower Minister Ida Fauziah welcomed the signing of the cooperation document, considering it consistent with the Indonesian government's efforts to capitalize on the upcoming demographic bonus. Now we move to the international news. The United States called on Iran on Monday to halt its transfer of an unprecedented amount of weaponry to Yemen's Houthi rebels, enabling its fighters to carry out reckless attacks on ships in the Red Sea and elsewhere. As reported by ArabNews.com, U.S. Deputy Ambassador Robert Wood told the UN Security Council if it wants to make progress toward ending the civil war in Yemen, it must act collectively to call Iran out for its destabilizing role and insist that it cannot hide behind the Houthis. Next, we have Vietnam co-sponsors and supports the United Nations General Assembly's historic resolution and backs the membership of the State of Palestine to the UN. This was said by Ambassador Dang Huang Giang, Vietnam's permanent representative to the United Nations on Monday. Speaking at the Assembly's emergency special session on the Middle East situation and the Palestine issue in New York, Giang affirmed that Vietnam stands side by side with Palestine in exercising its inalienable right to self-determination and supports its early admission as a full member of the United Nations. We end the news with jury selection began on Monday in the corruption trial of U.S. Senator Robert Menendez, a case that could affect the Democrats' political future and help determine which party controls the Senate next year. As reported by VOA.com, Menendez faces 16 criminal charges, including bribery, fraud, and acting as a foreign agent. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary highlights improving Hajj services in 2024. The 2024 Hajj season starts. The first group of Indonesian pilgrims has departed for Saudi Arabia. 300 pilgrims from Jakarta, dominated by the elderly, were released on Sunday morning by Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Komas, along with the Saudi Ambassador to Indonesia Faisal bin Abdullah Al-Amaudi. Quoted from the official website of the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs, this year's quota of Indonesian pilgrims is the largest in the history of the Hajj pilgrimage, reaching 241,000 Hajj quotas. The departure process of the Indonesian Hajj pilgrims will last until 10th June 2024. The Indonesian government is trying to improve the quality of services for Hajj pilgrims, especially elderly ones. Like the previous year, this year, the Ministry of Religious Affairs still carries the jargon elderly-friendly Hajj with around 45,678 pilgrims aged 65 years and over or as many as 21.41%. The ministry is committed to providing the best service for all pilgrims, including the elderly. A number of efforts have been made, including placing elderly pilgrims in priority seats while on the flights, both the Holy Land and later back to Indonesia. Another effort is to open a quota for accompanying elderly pilgrims. In addition, the government is also working to improve the capacity of Hajj officers. So far, the presence of Hajj officers has contributed to the success of the Hajj organization and the comfort of the pilgrims. The Hajj officers have undergone 10 days of technical guidance and training related to their duties and functions in a bid to well serve the Hajj pilgrims, especially the elderly. The government's effort to improve services to the Hajj pilgrims are certainly not enough without the obedience and discipline of the Hajj pilgrims themselves in conducting the Hajj pilgrimage, including not forcing themselves to carry out sunnah worship and avoiding unnecessary activities outdoors. If their physical condition and the weather do not allow it, because the temperature in the Holy Land reaches 39 until 40 degrees Celsius. In addition, pilgrims are also urged to obey local government regulations and intend their trip to the Holy Land only for worship. Hopefully, the effort made by the government in serving Hajj pilgrims can provide satisfaction, especially to elderly pilgrims, so that they can do their worship smoothly. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Oh,
We begin today in history on May 14th, 1955. An event about the signing of the Warsaw Pact. The Warsaw Pact was an advanced alliance of communist socialist countries in the Eastern European region. The pact was formed on May 14, 1955, at a meeting of Eastern Bloc countries in Warsaw, Poland. The formation of the Warsaw Pact was based on the decision of the United States and its allies to establish the NATO Defense Alliance. It's also motivated by the concerns of the Soviet Union and Eastern Bloc countries over the existence of NATO, which became a threat to Eastern Bloc countries at any time. Drafted by First Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, the Warsaw Pact was signed in Warsaw on May 14, 1955. The pact expired on March 31, 1991 and was formally ended at a meeting in Prague on July 1, 1991. Moving on to the next event on May 14, 1962, Indonesian President Sukarno escapes assassination attempt. On May 14, 1962, Indonesia's first President Sukarno escaped an assassination attempt by the members of Darul Islam Organization or the Indonesia Islamic Army. Darul Islam was a rebel group in Indonesia, which goal was to establish an Islamic state in the country. The incident took place at State Palace when Sukarno Hatta was praying Idul Adha. Deputy Speaker of the House, Zainal Arifin at the time, who was hit by a bullet, was the victim in the incident. We end today in history with May 14, 1998, the passing of Frank Sinatra. The American singer began his musical career in the swing era with Harry James and Tommy Dorsey. Sinatra became a successful soloist in the 1940s. He became a teenager idol with the nickname Bobby Soxers. His professional career had stalled in the early 1950s, but reached his popularity after he won an Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor in the film From Here to Eternity. And listener, that's today in history.
Biasa saja, ya hanya sedap dipandang mata, yang buat ku jatuh hati. Kau mau tahu apanya? Cintanya tak pernah dibagi-bagi. Tanda kasih yang setia, hatinya jangan ditanya, rasanya sukar untuk didapat. Orang yang seperti dia di zaman seperti ini, aku pun mau jadi kekasihnya. Andaikah dia masih sendiri, ketika air matamu jangan pernah menetes di pipi. Ooh.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Bank Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates Central Bank agree to establish a framework to encourage bilateral transactions in local currency. The Governor of Bank Indonesia, Ferry Warjio, and the Governor of the Central Bank of the United Arab Emirates, Khalid Mohammed Balama, signed a Memorandum of Understanding to support increasing trade relations between the two countries through the establishment of a framework that encourages the use of local currency for bilateral transactions. One of the ways in which the partnership between the United Arab Emirates and Indonesia is demonstrated is the growth of non-oil and gas trade, which continues to increase between 2017 and 2023. Quoting a press release from Bank Indonesia in Jakarta, May 10, 2024, the Memorandum of Understanding outlines a framework consisting of various elements to facilitate the settlement of cross-border trade transactions in two national currencies, namely the Indonesian rupiah and the United Arab Emirates dirham. The Memorandum of Understanding also explains the types of transactions that qualify and make it possible to support financial market development. This collaboration marks an important milestone in strengthening bilateral financial cooperation and is expected to help business reduce transaction processing costs. Based on this agreement, the United Arab Emirates Central Bank and Bank Indonesia will collaborate in encouraging the use of the Indonesian rupiah and the United Arab Emirates dirham by supporting the gradual implementation of the framework, which also aims to support economic stability and financial system stability. Responding to this agreement, Bank Indonesia Governor Ferry Warjio expressed the importance of efforts to deepen financial markets and strengthen economic relations between the United Arab Emirates and Indonesia through the use of local currency. This initiative is an effort to encourage stability and resilience to overcome increasing economic vulnerability. Furthermore, the Governor of United Arab Emirates Central Bank, Khalid Mohammed Balama, said that this agreement was the basis for strengthening future partnerships between the two parties, opening up greater business opportunities in the banking and finance sector, as well as an effort to support the growth of trade and investment. Quoting econ.go.id, previously Indonesia had implemented the use of local currency in economic and financial transactions since 2018 with Malaysia and Thailand as partner countries. Furthermore, Japan and China followed suit in 2020 and 2021. In addition, there have been agreements with Singapore and South Korea. That was My Indonesia Today.
Dalam jalinan kisah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOA listener, Indonesia is hosting the 10th World Water Forum, the world's largest international water forum, to be held on May 18 to the 25th, 2024 in Bali. During the event, delegates will visit Jatiluwih Tourist Village. The village will be decorated with many penjor. Penjor are tall, curved bamboo stalks decorated with specially shaped young coconut leaves. In addition, delegates will also be welcomed with a traditional Balinese dance, the Rejang Dance, accompanied by Tumbuk Lesung traditional music. Today's Indonesian Wonder introduces you to Rejang Dance, a traditional dance of the Balinese people. It is thought to have existed since the pre-Hindu era. This dance is performed as a sacred offering to welcome the arrival of the gods who descend to earth. Among the Balinese Hindu community, this Rejang dance is always performed at various traditional and religious ceremonies held at the temple. It is also often performed to welcome guests. As one of the cultural heritages, this dance is also believed to have important values and spiritual meanings. So it is also believed to be a sacred dance and performed with full devotion. Listeners, this Rejang dance is usually performed by a number of female dancers in groups. In general, the movements of this Rejang dance are very simple, because this dance focuses more on the spiritual value in it. Rejang dance movement is usually dominated by ngembak and ngelikas movements, or left and right movements, while stepping forward slowly. Every movement in this dance is usually done with a tempo that tends to be slowly adjusted to the musical accompaniment. Rejang dance performance is usually accompanied by Balinese gamelan music. The clothes of Rejang dancers are usually traditional Balinese clothes, dominated by yellow and white colors, equipped with a yellow shawl and flower crown. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bersama dirimu, yakin ku harapi sambil merajut berdua anyaman benang angan yang kau tawarkan. Sekian lama tuh mengerti dirimu jadi misteri yang kian tersemi. Sekian jauh menilai kadar cinta tergali milikmu sejati.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di bau-bau,
which means in bau-bau. You will listen to a conversation about
why
which means...
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun or woven cloth crest woman in Bao Bao. Chris asked why many women in Bao Bao are very skilled in making tenun or woven cloth. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means...
Mengapa? Mengapa?
We will say it 2 times slowly and please repeat it after us.
Saya. Saya.
Which means I.
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why.
Banyak. Banyak.
Which means many.
Perempuan. Perempuan.
Which means women.
Pandai. Pandai.
Which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun. Menenun.
Which means weaving or making woven clothes.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi. Tradisi.
Which means tradition.
Percaya. Percaya.
Which means believe.
Membawa. Membawa.
Which means bring.
Kebaikan. Kebaikan.
Which means goodness.
Bagi. Bagi.
Which means for.
Keluarga. Keluarga.
Which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression,
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word,
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase,
Bagaimana ceritanya? Bagaimana ceritanya?
Is actually asking about the story behind something. Let's listen to another example of using
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal? Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Which means why is kamuhu tenun cloth expensive? Kamuhu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, South Sulawesi. Kamuhu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terfol from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about...
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means, why? We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague...
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Singgah, which in English means Come Over by Rizna. The song was composed by Abdul Hamid. It tells about Dumai City, Riau. In its lyrics, Dumai City is called as Negeri Si Bunga Tanjung, well known with the legend of seven princesses. The city also calls Senepis Forest, one of Sumatran tiger's habitats at Sembilan River. Well, listener, let's enjoy the Malay song entitled Singgah by Rizna. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.